this year, like banker's boxes, file folders, and storage bins. Less mess equals more success. Visit staples.com for more. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Now your KTRS forecast brought to you by Pro Basement. A clear sky overnight, low near 5. Sunny tomorrow, high in the low 20s. Turning cloudy tomorrow night, overnight low in the upper teens. Taking a good look, a better look at Sunday when it could become problematic. We have snow with a wintry mix of snow, sleet. Then later in the day, freezing rain. Looks like right about 3 o'clock is when it might be moving into the St. Louis area. That's the latest forecast from the National Weather Service. High in the low 30s on Sunday. Right now, we have 20 degrees at 407 from the Window World Studios at Westport. I'm Kent Martin, KTRS News.
Come on down to Edwards, Edwards Carpet Stores.
Hi, Mark Goldstein here for Edwards Carpet. Happy New Year, St. Louis. I'm hoping one of your resolutions was to replace some flooring in your home. If not, I hope I can get you to add it to the list. It's 2018 and manufacturers have all raised their prices, but right now you can still get 2017 prices. It might be cold outside, but these prices will help warm you up, and you can take advantage of 12 months interest-free financing. With the new year, there's been a lot of talk about taxes. Well, for a limited time, you'll pay no tax on your purchase from Edwards. The best tax is no tax. We have the largest selection of all the newest innovations in the business. Carpet, sheet vinyl, luxury vinyl tile, all the new multi-layered flooring and more. Hurry into any of our 5 locations and get the flooring experience you deserve. Edwards Carpet, St. Louis's oldest locally owned and operated flooring business, serving you since 1939. Sale ends January 10th and sorry, but previous sales are excluded.
Come on down to Edwards, Edwards Carpet Stores.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the Friday edition of the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS and worldwide via the free KTRS app. There's a new movie out today called Molly's Game, which stars Jessica Chastain. It was written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, and it's based on a book that came out 3.5 years ago by a woman by the name of Molly Bloom. Molly Bloom was the one who was running underground high-stakes poker games in Hollywood and later on in New York, and wrote about her experiences in that book that Sorkin has based the movie on. I'm going to tell you what I thought of the movie, but first I thought we would go back to the week that the book was released in 2014 and listen to a conversation I had with Molly Bloom. Now I'm going to tell you a little inside story about this. When I did this interview with Molly, she was doing a bunch of them back-to-back via satellite. Each station was supposed to get 5 to 8 minutes, and I was last on the schedule. So when I was in the studio and we're doing a commercial break and I'm waiting for her to be done with whoever she was talking to beforehand, it turned out she was on with some guy from Providence, Rhode Island. And I could tell, I couldn't hear him, but I could tell from her answers that the guy knew nothing about poker, nothing about the game she ran, and wasn't treating her very nicely because she was being short and terse. And so when she came on with the line with me, I told her, look, I actually know your story. I read your entire book the day before we did the interview, and I enjoyed it. Plus, I would have a different perspective on this because not only do I play poker a lot, but I've been at the tables with several of the people that you've had in your games. She totally lightened up, and this is how the interview sounded. I really enjoyed reading this book, particularly because I'm a poker player and because I've actually played in games at the Commerce Casino with Ben Affleck and Tobey Maguire, and I played in Vegas with one-time world champion Jamie Gold, and Nelly, who I know played in some of your games, is a regular in the games that I play in here in St. Louis.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
And
awesome.
So I've got a little bit of a connection here.
You got a lot of a connection.
Well, yeah. One of the things that I have to start with here is Tobey Maguire, who... Okay. You know, really good actor, really good poker player, really greedy jerk.
You said it.
Explain to my audience why I'm saying that, though.
You know, at a table, he's just out for blood, and he's keeping track of every penny and looking for any way he can to make more.
Not only is he trying to make money off the other players, he actually pushed you out of the game you were running.
Yes, he did.
And also had a piece of equipment, a shuffling machine that he had.
Yes.
And actually, even though he was making millions of this game, didn't he try to rent that to you?
Yes, he insisted we used it, which, you know, I think was probably, in retrospect, a good decision. But then upon insisting we use it, he told me he was going to charge rent. And then he raised the rates the next year. He was like a Shuffle Master slumlord.
The Shuffle Master machine gives you the ability to play more hands, so everybody gets a little bit more action. And that's really what it was about for some of these guys. Not only did you have a good celebrity like Ben Affleck or Tobey Maguire in the game, you also had some real degens like Rick Solomon, who is known for exactly one thing, and that is the Paris Hilton sex tape. And you had other guys who poured hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars into this game, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Did it seem like it hurt them at all?
Not until around 2008 when some of the real estate guys, you know, it seemed like they were getting hurt from their jobs. But most of these guys that played in this game could afford tremendous losses.
Yeah, but I know that every poker player hates to see that river card that kills them, that two-outer that means they lost their stack. And that has to affect even rich guys.
It does affect rich guys, but it's more about the loss than I think the number. You know, look, the games got so big eventually that the kind of wins and losses, I don't care how rich you are, they're going to affect you. But I think it's also just, you know, it's an ego thing. You don't want to lose all the time. You want to win.
And when guys did lose, was it all men all the time?
It was all men all the time.
Okay. That sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
I know. No. I understand.
When the guys would lose, how hard was it for you to collect?
It was challenging. You know, it was, there was a definite finesse to collections. I'm not an intimidating person, nor did I want to take that route. So it was just a lot of kind of, you know, posturing and letting them kind of come to me instead of chasing it all the time. And the thing that was really great was that I had this game that was so live and had so much action and so many draws in terms of the celebrities or the billionaires, and tons of business was getting done, and, you know, it became this iconic thing that people really wanted to come back. So in the LA game, it was much easier to collect than in New York.
This game was famous. Everybody who played poker anywhere in the country at some point heard about this game. I've never played at the kind of stakes that you did. Even when you had the low stakes game, that's a little bit too high for me. But people knew about this game, and in LA, particularly when you were running the game there, tons of people wanted to come and play. How did you choose who got the invitation?
I chose based on what it seemed like was the most well received at the table. It was either a celebrity or a sports star, or it was loose action, or it was somebody that, you know, was loose action and terrible.
Yeah.
And had a good personality. That was kind of the ideal.
Yeah, a famous person who played badly and didn't mind losing.
Yeah,
you are welcome in our game.
You have a seat anytime you want.
Yeah, by the way, that's true at every poker table in the world.
Yeah, no, it is. It's, you know, it's the culture.
But how did you keep the game secure and private? Tell me about the process of making sure that the people you didn't want to show up didn't show up.
Well, I eventually moved the games to, the penthouse suites or you know, at the Four Seasons and the Beverly Hills Hotel or the Peninsula. And so I kind of used their security to protect the game, and a lot of people knew what was going on and in the hotel. But they're used to this kind of clientele in Los Angeles. They're used to the celebrities, and they were very discreet. And the people that I hired, I made sure they were discreet. And I kind of lived this double life for a long time where I didn't really talk about my life at all.
Yeah, you had to keep the game private and really secret from your entire world, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I also know that there were a lot of poker pros who heard about the game and wanted to get in there because they saw fish in the game, and they were sharks.
Oh, yeah.
And
now, this was a professional poker's wet dream.
How did you keep them out?
I mean, they approached me with all different kinds of offers, free rolls, straight cash, you know, but I knew that would be terrible for the game, you know, and it was just, it would have been a very short-term gain. And, you know, this game was so perfect for so long because the pros weren't there. And there were just a lot of players that were, you know, close two equally skilled, and a lot of times the money just changed hands. And I think Toby always came out ahead, and I think I always came out ahead. And you know, other than that, people were having huge losses and huge wins, but you know, it was pretty equal.
All right, we're back to Toby now, so I've got to ask: was there ever a consideration to not include him in the game because other players complained this guy wins all the time and we're sick of it?
Well, it was interesting because I would have just kind of honored what the consensus wanted, and they complained all the time, and they complained about his etiquette at the table, but they still really wanted to play with him, and I think it just kind of speaks to the culture in L.A. and in other places in the world that we're just, you know, we're a little celebrity obsessed.
Yeah, I mentioned that I had a chance to play with him in a tournament at the Commerce in outside of L.A. a long time ago, and it was right after Spider-Man had come out, and so he was a gigantic star. And he was sitting there very quietly with his hood pulled up and his hat pulled down, and Jen, who was then his fiance, was sitting behind him very quietly. And it became very obvious, but as soon as I got moved to his table, he doesn't really want to talk.
No, he's there to take your money.
Yeah, but when he was in the cash game, was he a talker?
Yes, he talked, but you know, it was really focused on poker. I write in my book that I used to call him Hannibal Lecter, which is actually kind of a compliment at a poker table, because of that scene in Silence of the Lambs where Hannibal Lecter is actually able to talk someone into, you know, offing himself in the next cell, because Toby could talk someone off at the top hand. You know, he could really spend time talking somebody off, you know, the nuts, which is, you know, the best hand in poker. So it was crazy.
Some people don't understand that what you were doing in running these poker games, at least the ones in L.A., were not illegal. Why?
Correct. I wasn't taking a cut. It was just based on tips. The players would tip me.
For those who don't know, when you go to a casino and you play, the casino takes a few dollars out of every hand, usually up to $4, $5, $6, depending on where you're playing around the country. There are also home games around America where people take $5 out of the pot. I've heard of one in Houston where they take $30 out of every hand. That's a hard rake for the players to beat. I had heard for a while that your game had a $100 a hand rake. Was that never true?
Never in L.A. No.
Okay. So doing it that way with no rake, no take for the house, meant it was a legal game. But then you move to New York because Toby essentially forced you out of L.A., and you end up in New York and get involved with some people who you probably shouldn't have gotten involved with, and they forced you to take a rake. Am I right?
You know, I think it wasn't, I can't say it was a forced situation. I made a decision at that point to take a rake for a couple different reasons, and, you know, when I moved to New York, I tried to scale this thing. You know, I had one game in L.A. and I had gotten pushed out, so I didn't want to make the same mistakes that I had made. And I was also getting a little bit greedy. You know, I wanted to really try to build an empire and see how far I could take this thing. And so I was having 5 to 7 games a week, and I couldn't control all of them. It was just too much poker. And, you know, I had to write a couple really big checks for people that had stiffed. And so I made a decision on one of the games that I was partnering with, a different person, to take a rake. And that was, you know, that was the beginning of the end. So,
well, before we talk about how much you got in trouble over that, explain to my listeners how, if you didn't take a cut, you made money on the game in L.A.
Well, both in L.A. and New York, I had, you know, my game in L.A. was $50,000 buy-in. My big game in New York was a $250,000 buy-in. And I just made sure to seat those, you know, 9 or 10 seats with the right people. And, you know, business flourished at the games. People were doing movie deals together. People were investing in each other's hedge funds. They had access to celebrity. They had access to, you know, a lot of money. And there was limited seats and almost what seemed like an unlimited amount of people that wanted to play. So the people that were in the game started tipping well to kind of secure their seats.
We got to stay in Molly's good graces because we have to come back to this game, because this guy is going to be here and he's a giant fish. I want his money and she's my gatekeeper, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would grease your palms first with a little bit of money, and then eventually, as the game got bigger, with a lot of money. So at some nights you were taking home tens of thousands of dollars in tips between you and your dealer, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but then you got to New York and you got greedy and you decided to take a rake. Is that what got you in trouble?
Yes.
Okay. Is that why the FBI eventually took you down?
Yes.
because I thought it was the Brad Ruderman connection. This guy, you talked about hedge funds. This guy was running a hedge fund that turned out to be a Ponzi scheme, and a lot of the people who were there eventually got named. Some of the celebrities who you name in your book got named in lawsuits from other people who were ripped off by this guy, who felt like, well, how come Tobey Maguire has some of my money that I gave to this hedge fund guy, right?
Right, correct. Brad lost $5.2 or $5.3 million. And, you know, then when the government actually, when he got indicted federally, the government came and tried to recoup that $5 million that he had lost in the game. And, you know, he was a bad player, and he wrote checks to almost every single person that sat at my table. And every person that received a check from him was getting sued. So that's why all this came out. This is how people found out publicly about the game and about the celebrities that played in it.
Yeah, I've talked to some of my poker-playing friends about this, especially when the story first came out. And we all said immediately, all those big-time stars, they're going to settle because they do not want to talk about this. Is that what happened?
It is. I think... Almost, every single person in the case settled.
But was that part of the FBI case against you, or was it all the rake thing in New York?
It was all the rake thing in New York.
Aha. Uh-huh. Did they come to you for details on what happened in your game when Brad was there?
Yeah, they came to me a couple different times, and I just, you know, declined to engage. So
you have not cooperated with the authorities at all on any of these games, right?
Never.
Okay. So was it last December that you pled guilty, or were you convicted, or what?
Yes, I pled guilty.
Okay.
To running an illegal gambling business was the specific charge.
And the punishment you're facing is?
Well, I was looking at 5 to 10 years, which is what they initially said when they arrested me. But I just got sentenced, and I got a year of probation.
A year of probation.
It was pretty awesome. You know, it was shocking to me when the feds came, because number one, I never knew that I was breaking a federal law. I thought it was taking a break was a state misdemeanor, which is what my attorney at the time told me, who used to be a federal prosecutor. And second of all, I hadn't run a game in 2 years. So, you know, it was really sort of kind of out of left field. So
is the game still going on?
Not in the same way. The games became sort of more disjointed. The players spread out. I hear about two guys that play heads up sometimes for like $100 million.
I'm sorry?
$100 million? In one night, I heard that this guy lost $100 million in one night playing heads up. And those are two guys, one, you know, that I found in New York, and the other guy that I found in L.A. And I think they still play heads up. But, you know, it's such a compulsive thing, and you keep raising the stakes, you're going to turn it into just a billionaire's game, and then it just became two guys that could play at that level. So.
Right. And then it's just about greed and not really about poker.
Not about poker.
And also not about the fun, because some of these guys came to the game and they weren't looking to, you know, get it all in on every hand.
No.
They wanted to hang out and have fun, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was trying to recruit players, it was selling a lifestyle as much as it was selling this game.
Some of the other people who played in your game, Leonardo DiCaprio, Gabe Kaplan, Guy La Liberté from Cirque du Soleil, the list was very long.
Yes.
With all of these connections to all of these different people, who's making the movie?
Well,
I know it's not going to be Tobey Maguire.
You never know. Weirder things have happened. No, probably not. So we'll see. You know, I think it lends itself very, very easily to some sort of movie or cable, you know, television series. So I've been kind of exploring that, finding who the right storyteller would be.
You know, it's funny you should mention that, because when I was reading the book yesterday, I thought you could do more than just 90 minutes in a movie with this, because there's so much to tell.
It's the world, you know, it's the underground world that is shrouded in secrecy and, you know, of not only high stakes poker, but just high stakes gambling and all that excess. And
I can hear the casting call now. We're looking for somebody to play a greedy movie superstar. Who's in? No names. The book is called Molly's Game, From Hollywood's Elite to Wall Street's Billionaire Boys Club, My High-Stakes Adventure in the World of Underground Poker. Molly Bloom, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. It's been a pleasure talking to you as well.
That is a conversation I had with Molly about 3.5 years ago when her book came out. And you heard me talking to her about making it into a movie. Well, it has been made into a movie, and it is released here in the St. Louis area today. I'll have that review for you and other showbiz stuff as we continue here on the Paul Harris Show right after this on the Big 550 KTRS.
Hi. Hi, I'm Bob Hardcastle, President and CEO of Delta Investment Services. At Delta, our mission is to build long-term relationships with our clients and help them realize their dreams through continuous, high-quality, long-term, diversified financial investment planning. With over 50 years in the investment field, our Delta team provides financial guidance for our clients that help them meet their financial goals. We want you to feel comfortable with your money, with your estate planning, with your emergency funds, and with retirement. We also offer our SOS, or second opinion service, to non-clients that might want a second opinion on their current investment strategy during these volatile times. For a no-charge, no-pressure financial meeting, call our Delta office at 636-532-0484. 636-532-0484. Or go to our website, moneytalk.org. I'm Bob Hardcastle.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My water heater broke down.
Sorry, but your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover water heater breakdowns.
So, what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my water heater?
I'm afraid not.
But his water heater could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield. We cover major components of air conditioners, plus 20 other home systems and appliances, like electrical systems, plumbing, refrigerators, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-1134. Homeowners insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Be sure with the Shield. American Home Shield. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-1134. That's 1-800-700-1134.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
Red Brick Roofing, wherever you live, from Alton to Afton to Collinsville to Cottleville, Clayton to Creek or your city and more, Webster to Wildwood, the one you know, Red Brick Roofing, wherever you go. For a hole in your roof, for a whole new roof,
645-2000. Redrick is the gold standard for roofing, and perhaps priced a bit lower than other bonded and insured roofers. When you invest money into fixing a hole in your roof or putting on a whole new roof, you want the peace of mind that you'll get only with Redrick Roofing. Plus, you can always depend on an immaculate cleanup when the job has been completed by Frederick's own licensed and insured crews.
For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
Family owned and operated since 1972, Lakeside Roofing is celebrating 45 years in the roofing industry and would like to thank you for your support over the years. They specialize in all types of commercial and residential roofing and ensure quality and professionalism. Lakeside offers expert installation and maintenance along with inspection services to fix and prevent problems before they occur. Call 618-344-2800 in Illinois or 314-241-5253 in Missouri to speak to a roofing expert today. For more information, visit lakesideroofing.com. Choose experience. Choose Lakeside.
A good night's sleep starts with the right pillow. That's where MyPillow comes in, and we're excited to announce the MyPillow Buy One, Get One offer is back. Purchase any MyPillow premium bed pillow and get the second bed pillow absolutely free. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One free tab, and take advantage of this limited time offer. Use promo code SKY at checkout or call 1-800-635-1825. That's MyPillow.com. Click on the Buy One, Get One free tab. Use promo code SKY at checkout.
KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies topped with golden flaky crust. All for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
McGraw-Millhaven, Kevin Lloyd. Two guys who will get you thinking about your future. Listen to When Retirement Happens this Saturday from 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. with McGraw-Millhaven and Kevin Lloyd to get set for your future on the Big 550 KTRS.
The Friday edition of the Paul Harris Show on the Big 550 KTRS. Max is out with the flu today. Josh is here running the equipment, and Tim is in the traffic center, and I'm going to take care of some showbiz stuff here today. I just played for you my 2014 interview with Molly Bloom, the woman who ran these high-stakes underground poker games for some very well-known celebrity players in Los Angeles and then later on in New York. Tobey Maguire, who we talked about, was a real jerk at the tables. Ben Affleck played. Leonardo DiCaprio played. At a certain point, I think A-Rod was in the room. A billionaire banker named Andy Beal was in there. It wasn't all movie stars. There were some just regular, really, really rich guys who wanted to get in there. And in the interview towards the end, I joked with Molly about, you know, is this book going to be made into a movie? And now it has. It's just like the book, called Molly's Game, and it's written and directed by Aaron Sorkin, and it stars Jessica Chastain as Molly, and it opens today here in St. Louis and around the rest of the country. Now, I am a big fan of Aaron Sorkin's writing. I mean, even as far back as Sports Night, which was his TV show before The West Wing, and then his other movies like The Social Network and Moneyball and on and on and on. I like the rhythm of his writing. It reminds me a lot of David Mamet. There are similarities there because they have the great rhythm and the great intelligence in their writing. Although Sorkin does tend to give his characters too many speeches to do, he's very, very good. And his script for Molly's Game sizzles with that same kind of dialogue, particularly between Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba, who plays the attorney that she needs once the FBI comes down on her for operating illegal gambling operations. The two leads in this movie are both great, as is the supporting cast, which includes Michael Cera and Chris O'Dowd, Bill Camp, Brian D'Arcy James, Graham Greene, Justin Kirk. You would recognize their faces if you don't know their names as soon as you see them in the movie. Now, unlike Molly's book, the movie does not name names. You never hear the names Tobey Maguire, Ben Affleck, Leonardo DiCaprio, Andy Beal, not once. Michael Cera plays a character who's just called Player X, and that is clearly Tobey Maguire, who was the biggest winner in Molly's Games, as well as the star that drew other guys to the rich table. People wanted to play poker with Spider-Man. And Maguire was ruthless with his opponents and with Molly as well, and made unbelievable demands, which I'm not going to give away. But suffice it to say that he comes off in the book and the movie and my interview with Molly as just an absolutely greedy jerk. The biggest problem with Molly's Game, the movie, is that it's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. That is too long, and it doesn't have to be. Aaron Sorkin has a prelude in this movie that goes on for quite a while about how Molly's Olympic skiing hopes came crashing down, literally, and there are several scenes about her relationship with her father, who's played by Kevin Costner, and neither of those storylines has anything to do with her life as the poker princess, as the tabloids called her. Maybe Aaron Sorkin didn't trust that as the core of the story, but he should have, because the rest of it is merely about a half hour of distraction from that core story. And he also messes with the timeline of the story. In the movie, Molly's book came out before her troubles with the FBI, but in real life, it was the opposite. She was charged in 2013, and the book came out in 2014 after she'd actually been sentenced. On the other hand, I will say that Sorkin gets most of the poker elements right, particularly in explaining to non-poker playing viewers what's going on during some of the hands, and how better players can terrorize worse players, and how horrific it is to be the victim of a really bad beat. You do not have to be a poker player or know anything about poker to watch this movie and enjoy it. You will absolutely be able to understand what's going on. Now, I do have a couple of other little nitpicky things about this movie, but that is the sort of stuff that comes from an experienced poker player watching this. I had the same problem with one scene in The Sting. I even wrote a column about how The Sting gets its poker wrong. And by the way, the same thing that was done in The Sting is also done in this one scene in Molly's Game. But that's me just nitpicking, and I know that. So I will tell you that Molly's Game deserves a place on the list of very good poker movies. You get The Cincinnati Kid, Rounders, A Big Hand for the Little Lady, Mississippi Grind, which I'm only mentioning because I'm in it, and because I will mention it every time I have the opportunity to mention it. Molly's Game is good. It's not as good as I think it should have been, and I think you got to give both the credit and the blame to Aaron Sorkin for his rookie directorial effort here. On a scale of 10, I'm giving it an 8. Now, for my poker-playing friends, it might be a little bit lower. For non-poker players, I think it actually might be a little bit higher. And that's because of Jessica Chastain, who was so good a couple of years ago in a movie called Miss Sloane, and is really, really good as Molly Bloom in this movie. And Idris Elba coming off a bomb of a movie that he did with Kate Winslet called The Mountain Between Us. Oh, that was a terrible movie last year. He's such a good actor. He needs a successful movie. I hope that Molly's Game is good for both of them. I know Jessica Chastain is nominated for a Golden Globe this Sunday night. I don't think she's going to win it, but I think she's going to get a lot of people's attention. And Aaron Sorkin's writing is right up there, crackling good. So too long, but pretty good. 8 out of 10 I give to Molly's Game. I'll take a break and come back with more showbiz stuff for you, including David Letterman's new Netflix show, the success of a Will Smith Netflix project that I thought was going to be a bomb, but Max said, no, it won't, and lots more coming up here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meep, meep.
All right, well, we've got some good news, we've got some bad news. The good news is they've cleared the accident on southbound Highway 170 that was south of Forest Park Parkway. Now, traffic is still jammed up north of Olive down through that area, but traffic is starting to cut loose a little bit. Bad news is we've got eastbound Highway 70 just east of Air Flight, a crash that has the right lane blocked, and you are jammed back from St. Charles Rock Road. They still are working with this accident, and from the looks of it, it could be out there for quite a while. It's from eastbound Highway 70 on the ramp to north or eastbound Highway 270, and it also has the ramp to Missouri Bottom closed. Now, what I don't understand is everybody's in that right lane waiting to get off at Missouri Bottom, but they're just backed up there. They have to get in that left lane to get around it. And then eastbound Highway 270 is running slow east of McDonald through 170. You have eastbound 4064 pretty heavy now on Jefferson to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound, it's slow Kings Highway through McCausland. We also have an accident. Well, actually, they just cleared the accident. It's on westbound Highway 4064 ramp to westbound Highway 70, and traffic is jammed back now from Highway 364 all the way out. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. Now at Staples, trade in your old printer and save up to $200 on a new Epson Echo Tank, including up to 2 years of ink. Ends 160 store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Stores.
Hi, Mark Goldstein here for Edwards Carpet. Happy New Year, St. Louis. I'm hoping one of your resolutions was to replace some flooring in your home. If not, I hope I can get you to add it to the list. It's 2018 and manufacturers have all raised their prices, but right now you can still get 2017 prices. It might be cold outside, but these prices will help warm you up, and you can take advantage of 12 months interest-free financing. With the new year, there's been a lot of talk about taxes. Well, for a limited time, you'll pay no tax on your purchase from Edwards. The best tax is no tax. We have the largest selection of all the newest innovations in the business. Carpet, sheet vinyl, luxury vinyl tile, all the new multi-layered flooring and more. Hurry into any of our 5 locations and get the flooring experience you deserve. Edwards Carpet, St. Louis's oldest locally owned and operated flooring business, serving you since 1939. Sale ends January 10th and sorry, but previous sales are excluded.
Come on down to Edwards Carpet Stores.
All money managers may seem pretty much the same. But while some money managers may recommend high commission investment products, Fisher Investments avoids them. Some money managers may have hidden and layered fees. Fisher Investments never does. And while some money managers are happy to earn commissions from you, whether you do well or not, Fisher Investments fees are structured so we do better when you do better. In other words, we're structured to be on your side. Maybe that's why most of our clients come to us from other money managers. Talk with us and find out why so many experienced investors are switching to and staying with Fisher Investments. Fisher Investments, clearly better money management. Investments in securities involve the risk of loss. Visit us at FisherInvestments.com to find out what we can do for you.
Everybody loves a family dentist. That's why you'll love Dr. Bowen at Bowen Dental Care. You see, Dr. Bowen is a family-run dentistry, and it was run by his father, and he has now taken over the practice. It's in Florissant on Dunn Road. You would not believe how many people drive to Florissant just to go see Dr. Velvet Hands. That's what I call him because, well, he's got velvet hands, and he has that personal touch, which makes going to him such a pleasure. So whether it's the grandparents needing some implant dentures or some dental implants, or maybe the kids need a teeth cleaning, whatever it may be, Bowen Dental Care in Florissant is the place to go. For a fraction of the cost, some of the corporate dentists will charge you. Dr. Bowen will take care of all of your family needs. So if you're looking at implant dentures or dental implants, whatever it may be, B-O-A-I-N, BowenDentalCare.com on Florissant in Dunn Road. Make an appointment. You'll be glad you did, and you'll thank me later. B-O-A-I-N, Bowen Dental Care. Or BowenDentalCare.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Blome. Join KTRS for Heart and Soul, an evening to benefit the Dorothy and Larry Dallas Heart Center at SSM Health Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. On Saturday, February 3rd at the Hyatt Regency, St. Louis at the Arch, you'll enjoy a Hollywood-themed evening, fabulous food, cocktails, an amazing auction, and live music. Buy your tickets before January 8th, and you could win a hotel room at the Hyatt the night of the event. That's Heart and Soul, presented by Keeley Companies. For tickets, visit Glennon.org.
Weekday mornings at 6:35, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Are you ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but the flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exogen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Continuing along with the showbiz stuff here on the Big 550 KTRS, I am Paul Harris. Max is not here to do a movie review, but the only real opening this weekend is Molly's Game, which I just told you I gave an 8 out of 10. The Golden Globes are going to be on NBC this Sunday night. This is an award show that doesn't really mean much of anything because it's decided by, I think it's 52 members of the Hollywood foreign press community. It's not a thing that's voted on by your peers like the Academy Awards or the SAG Awards or anything like that. But Hollywood loves to play it up because A, it's a party, and B, it's enormously publicity ready to go out there and say, winner of 8 Golden Globes or nominated for 12 Golden Globes or whatever it is. Seth Meyers is going to be the host, and although he has done a ton of Trump stuff on his late night show on NBC, I think there'll be some of that on the Golden Globes, but even more will be directed towards the Me Too movement. In fact, all of the actresses who are nominated for the movie and TV categories have agreed to wear black dresses to the Globes this year because they're trying to make a statement amongst them that the Me Too movement means something and they're going to try to get more and more people's attention. Interesting that there's going to be a guy in charge of the whole thing who will be hosting it, and we'll see what he has to say. And we'll also see what some of the presenters and some of the winners have to say once they get up there. I know if Reese Witherspoon has something to say, she'll be able to do it if Big Little Lies were to win for one of the TV categories.
Don't they normally have like a Golden Globes lady who walks everybody up, and it's always somebody's kid?
Yes. Yes.
Like Billy Joel's daughter will do it.
Yeah, not Billy Joel, but it's like Melanie Griffith's daughter or somebody like that. I don't know if they're going to plan on having men do it this year or if it's going to be a man and a woman. I know in the past sometimes they've had a guy and a woman, both 11,000 times more attractive than any human being you've ever met.
Right.
Because they're the offspring of beautiful people. But yes, they will be there, absolutely. And we'll see what the impact of the Me Too movement will be on this and what the speeches are like. Interestingly, while the Golden Globes don't mean much as far as prestige in Hollywood, the Oscar nominations are open today. Voting begins today. And I just hope that some of the people who vote for Oscars will remember a movie that came out last spring called The Big Sick, which if you were listening to this show last week when I did my 10 best movies of the year, was in the number one spot with a 10 out of 10 rating, the perfect comedy from last year. Unfortunately, I think it's being forgotten by too many, and the Oscars are terrible with their history when it comes to comedies, but The Big Sick absolutely deserves that attention. David Letterman has announced his new Netflix series. He's actually been taping it over the course of the last couple of months, and it'll debut 1 week from today on the service. And they're not putting it all out there like they always do, every episode at the same time. The show is going to be called My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman. interesting, he has to introduce himself in the title. His guest on the first episode will be former President Barack Obama. And then he's going through George Clooney and Malala and Jay-Z and Tina Fey and Howard Stern. Six episodes, some of them with an audience, some of them without an audience, each of them about an hour long. And maybe some field segments where he goes out and does, I don't know, is he going to drop watermelons off a tower again? I don't think so, but it'll be interesting to see him on there. And the answer to your question is yes, he still has the stupid beard.
You don't like the beard?
No. As a closely cropped beard wearer for my entire adulthood, that long... When ZZ Top says, dude, trim it back,
yeah,
that's when you know you have too much facial hair. Speaking of Netflix, about a month ago on this show, Max and I were talking about a Netflix movie called Bright, because a listener had emailed and said, I understand that this movie cost $90 million to make, and it's not going to be in any theaters, so how is it going to make money if it's just streaming on Netflix? And Max's answer was, well, it depends on how much Netflix paid for it and whether it brings more people to the service. But then we talked about how the movie was getting absolutely horrible reviews from everybody who has seen it. Well, that turned out not exactly to be true, because apparently some people liked it, non-professional people who saw this movie. According to Nielsen, 11 million Netflix users have streamed it in its first few days of release, and it is currently the number one movie on Netflix in over 190 countries, being streamed more by international users than domestic users. So that makes it a hit as far as Netflix is concerned. And by the way, Netflix doesn't confirm or deny any of this information. They never release viewership numbers. But here's all you need to know about whether Netflix is happy with the $90 million they spent. Today, they okayed a sequel to Bright. So at least we know Will Smith will be able to make the mortgage payment.
Yeah, they just raised my Netflix prices.
Yeah, they went up a buck.
Yeah.
Because they're spending so much on original programming. I think the guy who's in charge of it, Ted Sarando, said instead of $3 billion, we're going to spend $4 billion on original programming in 2018. And you, my friend, and I, and everybody else who has Netflix, we're paying for it.
Yeah.
I've not seen the Netflix thing, the Will Smith thing. Have you?
No, I don't really intend to.
Yeah, neither do I.
It looks like, what was that movie, the TV show?
Alien Nation.
It looks like Alien Nation.
With James Caan and Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. Although, in this case, it's not an alien. It's some mythical creature like, you know, elves and dwarves and that sort
Unicorn.
Of thing.
Unicorn.
And I'm not into that kind of fantasy stuff. The Amazing Race, a show that I am really into, started its 30th season on Wednesday night. My wife and I, who have seen every episode of The Amazing Race, were glued to our DVR. We didn't watch it Wednesday night. We actually watched it Thursday night and loved it. And we were not alone. 7.3 million people watched this show. It got the highest ratings of the night. That's interesting because it looked like CBS was trying to squeeze The Amazing Race out of its schedule after first putting it on. It used to be on Sunday nights, and it got a great lead-in from 60 Minutes in football. And then they moved it to Fridays, and it just didn't do well there. And then they moved it to Thursdays at 9 o'clock, which was not a good slot for a reality show like that. This time they put it on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and it got gigantic ratings for them, almost twice what they had with the premiere of the show last year. And also, that's the Survivor time slot, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now the show's going to go forward and continue to be on in the Wednesday evening prime time slot, but I think it's going to be on from 8 to 10. They're going to do two episodes a week and kind of burn through the season. I hope that doesn't mean they're burning Amazing Race off of the grid, because I'm a big fan and I would like to see some more of that going forward. What else do I want to mention here? Oh, I'm a fan of this Marcus Lemonis show on CNBC called The Prophet. You ever watch this, Josh?
No, I see commercials, though.
He is a very rich guy who invests in small businesses, usually small family businesses. And they're small businesses that are kind of in trouble. They're basically just barely keeping their head above water. And he goes in and looks around and meets the people and then actually writes them a check and buys whatever percentage of the company he's going to, 30%, 40%, 50%. And the deal is, if he writes the check and gives it to them, no matter how much of the percentage of the company he has, he's 100% in charge. because he knows how to run successful businesses. And he'll go in and say, okay, instead of selling 100 different pairs of socks, we're now going to sell 5. What are your 5 best-selling pairs of socks? That's what we're going to sell from now on. We're not going to sell, you know, just jeans. We're also going to add in jackets or bags or, you know, whatever it is that he gets into. If it's a candy company, he makes them only get concentrated on what works, because small business people sometimes can get way, way off the rails. And he goes in and he turns these things around, not all the time, but most of the time. The times he has the most trouble are when there's some family member, and in every episode there's a family member who you could see in the first segment, that's the trouble. The brother-in-law who's on the payroll and he's helping out, but he's really just a knucklehead and he doesn't actually do anything. Or the father who's charging his daughter too much rent for the warehouse space he's renting to his own child, and she won't say anything and he's a jerk, and so Marcus Lemonis has to work his way through all that social stuff. However, Marcus has, in the last year or so, started doing some almost documentary-like shows that get away from his regular format. And in the last 2 weeks, he has done 2 fantastic shows. The first one, which aired a week and a half ago, was about the situation in Puerto Rico. After Hurricane Maria and the other hurricanes that had devastated that island, he went down there and wanted to look around and see what the devastation was, and not just in San Jose, but in other parts of the island, particularly parts up in the hills, where they still don't have electricity, and they have been told by the government they may not have it until July. These are people who by then will have had no electricity, which means no fresh water, for 9 months. And as he points out, these are American citizens. Puerto Ricans are American citizens. If this tragedy were going on the mainland, the government would be all over it. There would be military troops down there. Now, there are National Guards people who are down there who are helping out and who are doing their best. But considering that Puerto Rico is only 100 miles by 35 miles, that kind of devastation needs an enormous amount of help. And the trouble, of course, is getting it across an ocean into the sea, the Caribbean, to Puerto Rico. But we have planes that can land at that airport and personnel who could go there. And when people don't have enough fresh water to drink and electricity to keep a light on or to do anything, that's taken them back to primitive times. And Lemonis actually says things like that on that show and really shows what it is. He also goes with these amazing doctors and nurses who in some cases travel up a mountain 4 to 5 hours to help out a mother who's got a sick infant. And then 4 or 5 hours back down. You know, he'll say to them, you worked 12 hours today. How many patients did you see? 3. But if those people hadn't gone there, that kid dies. That old woman who has breathing problems, she dies. And so these are the real heroes of the Puerto Rico situation. And it was so great for him to point that out. Then this week, he did another one called The Prophet in Marijuana Country. It was timed because California just became the largest recreational marijuana market in the world when it became legal on Monday, New Year's Day. And he went to Humboldt County, California, and talked to people who have actually been growing pot out there for 50 years, even when it was illegal. And the hassles they get from the sheriffs, and every time a helicopter flies overhead, they think this is the time we're going to prison. In fact, this couple that had been growing it for 50 years, Marcus interviewed their kids, who are now grown, and he said, what was it like when you were young and, you know, your parents could be arrested at any time? He said, both the boy and the girl, the man and the woman, there were times when we would be coming home from school and the school bus would be dropping us off at the bottom of the hill and sheriff's cars would be coming down the hill the other way, and we'd think to ourselves, are mom and dad going to jail? Are those cars full of my parents and their weed? Oh, it was absolutely heartbreaking. But there's also the black market side of this story. I mean, he gets into the whole thing. If you are interested in these stories that I'm telling you, which he told so well as any reporter, I mean, he's a real, real curious guy, curious about so many things. If you want to see these, go to the CNBC website. I don't think they have the entire episodes up, but you can see clips from them in 2 or 3 minute segments, and it's absolutely fascinating. And the last thing I want to mention here is that if you are a fan of Game of Thrones, you will not be getting any new episodes this year. They have postponed the 8th season of Game of Thrones to 2019. So that's next year that you will finally get the final six episodes of the entire series of Game of Thrones. And that's the showbiz stuff for this week. Coming up next hour, the Harris Challenge and Knuckleheads of the News, all on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
All right, well, we're looking at an accident on eastbound Highway 70 east of Air Flight. They have cleared the right lane. It's on the right shoulder, but the damage is done. You are jammed solid, and that goes back from Highway 270 all the way past the airport. Westbound driver slowing down from 170 past Air Flight to take a look. Still have that ramp from eastbound Highway 370 onto Missouri Bottom shut down. Only the left lane is open, and that's to ramp onto eastbound Highway 270. Now, we are looking a little better on eastbound 270, McDonald through Lindbergh, little slow again from 170 through New Florissant. Westbound Highway 4064, that's heavy boil out through McCausland. You still have that road work that's going on causing delays on Olive. Eastbound Olive at Warson, you're jammed back to Lindbergh, and westbound Olive at Old Bonham, that has you backed up east of Dielman. This traffic report brought to you by Staples. They have low prices on everything your business needs to clear the clutter, like this year's banker's boxes, file folders, and storage bins. Less mess equals more success. Visit Staples.com for more. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Big 550 KTRS Traffic Center.
Let your Medicine Shop Pharmacy help you save your prescription dollars in the 2018 new year. The Medicine Shop is a preferred pharmacy for SilverScript and WellCare members, so spend fewer dollars on your SilverScript and WellCare copays at the Medicine Shop Pharmacy. Why go to another pharmacy and pay more? We make transferring your prescription to our pharmacy so easy. Give us a call or stop by to find out more.
I'm Justin Jemis, owner of the Medicine Shop in St. Charles. Come visit us for superior customer service, including free delivery of your prescriptions in and around St. Charles.
Come visit Mike and Vivian Buddy at the Medicine Shop in Columbia, Illinois, across the street from City Hall.
Come visit Mike Hitchler, owner and pharmacist of the Valley Park Medicine Shop, located in the Stonegate Shopping Center, serving Baldwin, Fenton, Kirkwood, Manchester, Twin Oaks, and Valley Park.
Come and see Steve Burge at the Granite City, Illinois Medicine Shop, 1529 Johnson Road, two doors down from McDonald's.
This is John Shea of the Inside Out Show. Nearly all of us have appliances that break down. A washing machine, a dryer, refrigerator, ice maker, microwave, or a stove. Who can you call for quick, reliable service and maintenance at a reasonable price? Who is the standard in service? I'd like to suggest the good folks at Stainless Appliance Repair. They have been in business since 1958, providing award-winning service for manufacturers such as Sub-Zero, Wolf, Asco, Maytag, Jennair, Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Bosch, Thermador, Daycare, and True. St. Louis Appliance Repair technicians are factory-certified professionals who care for your home while fixing those broken appliances. Chances are, if you're hearing this commercial, St. Louis Appliance Repair Service is in your area. They are locally owned, family-operated. Give St. Louis Appliance Repair a call, 636-349-5588. That's 636-349-5588 or stlappliancerepair.com.
Weekday mornings at 6:35, Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is the home of the Missouri Tigers. The Big 550. Green and Green.